All right, you ready to
what
go?
What do we do? An hour?
Yeah, up to you. I'm good with whatever.
All right, we'll feel it out.
Cool. So how you been, Mark?
I'm doing all right. It's a beautiful day in Manhattan. I'm just taking it easy and trying to stay sane.
Yeah. Do you find that people will, do you find that it's obviously it's different in Manhattan right now, but do you find that people are starting to loosen up a little bit?
Oh yeah. I mean, people, the masks are coming down. It's like a condom, you know, after a little time, you start saying, ah, screw it. What are we doing here? But I think this is human nature. Like, you go meet up with somebody and you're doing the fucking elbow touch and, hey, whoa, stay away. Then 10 minutes in, you're sitting on their lap eating a bucket of ice cream.
Yeah, it's so strange. I'm in LA and it's just like restaurants are starting to open. And I think everybody now realize, everybody's thinking, well, if restaurants are open, it's over.
Right. Yeah. That's, and I think we want it to be over so bad that we, it's that wishful thinking where it's not over. Now it's spiking everywhere, but our brains have already decided, well, restaurants are open. I guess we're going with this now. And you're like, yeah, but it's the virus and they don't care about, the virus doesn't give a shit about what's open and how tired of it you are.
Exactly. You haven't done any shows in New York, have you?
I've done some Zoom shows. One guy had a show at his apartment and it was literally me and him and a camera. And he projected the Zoom audience onto the wall. So there was like 20 people on the wall, like 20 different squares. And you would tell a joke and it would broadcast to them and they would start laughing. It was the closest to a real crowd I've seen yet.
Did you feel like it, what you were feeling the laughs, or was it still a little hard to kind of just go by yourself, just seeing people laugh?
It was definitely weird and disconnected, but it was, you could feel it for sure. Like you felt, I'm killing. Hey, I'm bombing. I'm killing. I got him now. I lost him. Like, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Were you doing new material, old materials, the special stuff or what?
I was doing all Corona jokes that I've tweeted, okay. Stuff like that. So it wasn't like, you know, my act, because my act is so rusty and shitty that it was like topical. Hey, how about this protest? How about this Biden? You know?
Yeah. How much material did you have after filming your special up until the virus started, like in a new hour?
Oh God, I'm so grateful that I worked on shit after the hour, because I knew I was going to film that thing and I didn't know Corona was going to happen. So I just figured, I'll build up some material over time. But I had built up a good 20, 25, and thank God for that, because, you know, you go back on the road, you know, I went last week to Dallas and they're like, I came out because I saw the special. And you're like, oh my God, thank God I built up that 25 and that'll get you halfway home.
Right. And so then what did you just kind of do crowd work afterwards or what?
Do crowd work. I do those tweet bits again. That'll only last a month. So fucking, I got to buy time. So I'm just going to talk about Corona for 10 minutes and talk about the protests and talk about Biden and talk about Trump. So you get through it, but you're watching those minutes clock by.
Oh yeah, for sure. Did you find that the audiences were a little like weirded out being next to people and all that stuff, or was it normal? Did it feel normal?
I said it's right back in. You know, the hot tub is boiling at first, but eventually you get a knee in, then you get a junk in, then you get a stomach in, and then you're sitting in there, then you kind of go, hey, let's turn up the heat a little more, actually. I'm already used to it. So those masks came off and everything. I don't know if I'm going to go back on the road, because I feel like it's cooking up again.
Yeah.
But I was glad to get that one in, if I'm being honest.
And you got a good YouTube video out of it.
Yeah, the YouTube's killing.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. You're at, I think, 400,000 or something like that views.
It just shows how much people are craving it. And these are such serious times that comedy is like a great cure for it. It makes you forget about it. It takes the impact off it a little bit if you can write a joke about it. And that's why I get so annoyed by like the canceling, because comedy is a healer. It's supposed to be this, you know, hey, let's joke about something that makes us feel bad, you know, like Jews with their oppression or whatever it is, you know, like that's why black people are so funny. It's all this, you got to joke when you're uncomfortable. And I think a lot of people are uncomfortable right now. So the jokes are almost cathartic.
Right, totally. Did you find that, did you have humor growing up? Because I know, you know, you've talked about your situation in Louisiana with your nanny and all that stuff. Was your household funny, or was it more dark, or what?
You know, my dad and mom were so stressed out. They're both like, they were workaholics, and they had a big nut, and they got two kids, and they got this big house, and they're trying to pay the way. So I didn't really see them that much. And when we did hang out, it was a joke here and there, and comedy was always appreciated, like comedy movies or TV shows, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the jokiest family. But I was joking, because I was a bedwetter. I had braces. I was a weirdo. So I joked for everybody. I joked enough for everybody because I was so uncomfortable the whole time.
Right. So do you find that, is that where you became funny, so that you could break tension in the room and sometimes and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood, and I was in French immersion class in school. So I'm in school with like a lot of the French kids, and then I'm in the neighborhood with a lot of black kids. So I kind of always felt out of place, and I had to make jokes. And your parents are working so much that you want attention. And so the only way to get attention is to fucking get a laugh.
Huh, that's, yeah. I mean, I get that, you know. My family, they were working. You just got to be funny. That's the way to get attention around town.
Yeah, totally. The laugh is undeniable, you know. It's because sometimes you'll say a good point or something interesting, and maybe you'll get like a, And I'm like, I need more than that. I need a gut laugh. I need a rollover. I need a ha-ha. Something, baby. Some kind of reaction.
When you're working out material, do you find that you'll appreciate the or do you always want to go for the gut laugh?
I mean, I like a little everything. My favorite thing in comedy is like a good point, like it's funny and it's poignant and it's interesting, and it's been there the whole time and nobody caught it. To me, mm-hmm. that's my favorite kind of humor. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example, but like Chris Rock has a lot of that. You know, his bit on cops is like my favorite bit about cops. Everybody's got their take. He's like, yeah, a few bad apples, but this is a job where you can't have bad apples. It's like a pilot. You know, like some of them land the plane.
Totally.
Like that, I'm like, he's getting right out and he's being.
Yeah. Oh, nope. Did we get over there? I think we're back.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. There we.
Oh, sorry.
Don't worry about it. I think so. It's all good, though.
Okay. Sorry.
We'll leave it in.
What did I miss?
Nothing. I I guess the next question I would ask is, so did you always know you wanted to be a stand-up comic?
No. I wish. I just loved comedy so much. But, you know, in my head, my parents were so hardworking and successful that, like, the whole time I was racking my brain, like, should I be this? Should I be a movie producer? Should I be a fucking lawyer? Should I be this? But I knew I was too dumb to be anything important. And then it took me failing at everything to realize, well, fuck it, why not try comedy? Because in my mind, comedy was just this, like being an astronaut. It's never going to happen. I'm glad Richard Pryor's doing it, but I can't do it, you know? It's like being a professional boxer or something. How do you even get to that point? So I just was so desperate and had nothing going on that I said, I'll try it. And it took that desperation to get me to get up there.
So then where you did your first show in Louisiana, right? It was like 2 hours out of New Orleans.
Yeah. Wow. You're good. It was Lafayette, Louisiana.
And then do you remember any of the jokes you did?
I don't. I remember I got so drunk. I got blacked out because I was so nervous. And I had a yeast infection at the time, or what they call a jock itch for a guy. Uh-huh. That's like the male term.
Yeah.
And so I talked about it on stage, and it was horrible jokes, like, I got a yeast infection, it smells more like sourdough, you know, shit like that.
Right.
And I'm sure I tanked and bombed, but I was so blacked out and I ran the light. But I remember just being around all the comics, being in that world. I specifically remember the comic meeting, like the host of the show was like, all right, everybody get together backstage, and he's like, you're gonna go third. You're doing 10 minutes. You're doing, and I remember being like, this is awesome. I need this right now. This is so special. I'm a part of something. And I was hooked after that. Then it was like, look through the phone book for comedy clubs, go on YouTube, see what's what, who's what, who's this Hedberg guy? Let me watch him. Stephen Wright, you know, old Carlin stuff. old Eddie Murphy, and then you just get engulfed, and then eventually you move to New York.
Yeah. So then would you say that those guys like Carlin and Hedberg, were those your guys that you would consider your heroes growing up in terms of stand-up?
In terms of stand-up, it was three main influences was Jerry Seinfeld, George Carlin, and Chris Rock. And then you start digging deeper. Like, Chris Rock's Bigger and Blacker blew my mind. When I saw it, I was I didn't know you could do this. I didn't know this was a thing. I mean, it was so fucking raw and poignant and interesting and hilarious and so aggressive. He's pacing with the leather suit and everything. It was insane. And then I found Norm Macdonald, and I was like, well, this is the funniest guy on the planet. Like, nobody sounds like this guy. He's a weirdo. You know when you see somebody, you're like, this is my sense of humor.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he was, because, you know, Chris Rock's hilarious, but I'm like, that's not me. I can't do that. And then you see Norm Macdonald, you're like, that's what I think is funny. This stupid shit and the dumb voice and the whole thing. I'm like, this is comedy.
Yeah. So were you always doing one-liners, or was that when you found Norm, did you kind of take it to that point of your comedy where it's, you know, there's like the larger picture, but it's like joke after joke after joke?
Yeah, for me, it was, I'm not even a one-linery guy. To me, I don't know how to get a laugh without a punchline. Like, everybody's like, you're a joke guy. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Pratfalling? Like,
right.
What do we do here? Fuck a stool? So I just have to have jokes to get laughs. I'm not a big act out guy. I'm not Sebastian. So I just became a joke guy, and I'm a big wuss. So, like, if it's silent for 4 seconds, I'm panicking. So, hey, put another joke in.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I love that term, you're a joke guy, because all of us are joke guys.
You hope.
Yeah, you know. But, I mean, was it you or Joe that opened for, it was Joe that opened for Norm, right?
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's, have you ever done anything with him?
I met him once at the Comedy Cellar for like 8 seconds, and he was super nice, and he loves Joe. He loves my friend Joe List, so we watched Joe together, and I got to sit next to him. But, you know, you couldn't really talk because it was during a show. But I got a photo with him, and that's about all I know of him, really. But just that style and that brand of comedy really resonated with me.
Yeah, and so I'm sure, you know, at the Cellar, you're there pretty much every night. You're seeing all these guys. Who's, like, the one or two comics that you've seen walk in that your heart just stopped and you kind of fanboyed out?
Wow. Hey, good question. But I mean, that's the crazy thing about the Cellar is that kind of wears off. Like, I used to see Louis or Stanhope or Bill Burr, you know, and just be like, oh my God, this is crazy. Oh, geez. And you try to act normal. Chappelle comes there all the time. You try to act normal, but after a while, you just kind of fade away. Like, I've hung out with Seinfeld at this point. And
that's so crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. So that's the cool thing about comedy is it's so little pretension. Not a lot of pretension. I mean, that's basically the basis of comedy, just mocking pretension. Yeah. So a lot of these guys, especially the funny ones, the unfunny ones are mean, but the funnier guys are nice and they get it. You're just a comic just like them. They just started before you, that's all.
Yeah.
So they're pretty cool. Everybody's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, that's the best piece of advice that I was probably given coming up, because I started at 14, so it was like, obviously, I'm not going to be the funniest guy, but a lot of these comics who have made it are going to see it, and, you know, they'll come up to me, because they don't have to worry.
Right. You know? Yeah, they're not threatened.
Yeah, so I forgot who told it to me. It might have been Brody Stevens before he passed away. He said, if you see a guy you want to say hi to, go up and say hi. You know?
Right. Yeah, so true. It's true. I mean, there are some dicks out there, but those dicks are rarely funny.
Yeah. So then you know, we were just talking about how you were in Dallas. What's it like for you playing a club versus playing a theater versus playing an arena?
Oh, I mean, it's exactly what you think. A club is a conversation. It's not interactive, but it's in tandem. The crowd laughs, you do a joke. Crowd laughs, you do a joke. You can talk to a guy in the front row. You can, you know, talk to the guy in the back and make fun of this guy's shirt. And it's probably the most real comedy out there. And then theater is more of a presentation. Like, look at this piece I've prepared. You know, it's almost like I got a blazer on. The lights are dim. This place was built in 1808. It's grand. There's a chandelier. And here is my work to present to you. And it's fun. It's great. And then an arena is just like, I'm praying to God this hits any of you. You're 8 miles away from me. You're on the 19,000th row. I have a one-liner that might not even reach you. I don't know if I'm loud enough. Can you even see me? So the arena feels the most detached and the least like real comedy.
Huh. But do you enjoy playing them or no?
I mean, look, I'm glad I can say I've done the Garden, and it felt good to do well there. I bombed there once and did well there once. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you don't get off stage going, woo, that was fun. All right. You get off stage going, holy shit. I can't believe that just happened. That was crazy. Glad it's over.
Right. So then how do you approach, you know, opening versus headlining?
Oh, well, when you're open, I think you want to be, are we talking feature or are we talking host?
We'll talk feature. You know, if you're doing, or let's, we can go. So, you know, you just played Dallas, you headline there versus opening for Seinfeld.
Okay. Dallas was headlining, and that's headlining. You're the show. Like, you are the main comic that feel like connects with the crowd. Sure, the feature will go up and do well, kill. That's pretty common. But you got to be the one that's like in the room. You got to be the one that's really bringing the heat and talking about everything that they're thinking. You have to address everything, acknowledge everything. And I think that makes for a better, more well-rounded comic. You don't really get to that next level until you headline, I think. Mm-hmm. And a feature can connect with a crowd, of course. But I feel like the headliner is like, you're the one they're seeing. Your name's on the marquee. The headliner's the appetizer. And sure, the appetizer could be great. Appetizer can be better than the meal. But you go for the meal.
Right.
That's why you go to a restaurant. So, yeah, opening is a skill on its own because you have to be memorable but not too memorable. And you got to set the table but don't steer the show off the rails. So they're very different animals, but either way, you want to be killing.
Yeah. Do you find that, you know, if your guy you take on the road has an off night or maybe his 20 doesn't go so well, do you find that your set might suffer at the beginning because the crowd isn't as warmed up as they could be? Or once you come out, they're ready to see you?
That's a good question. I think, of course, they could be a little less warmed up, but I don't even know if that's the feature's job. That's the host's job. The host warms them up. The host gets them loose. And the feature just kind of does his part. I will say, if a feature does a ton of crowd work, you know, look at this guy's shirt, where are you from, fuck this bitch, whatever it is, they kind of get used to that. And then you go up talking about Uber, I think they're kind of like, wait, I don't want to pay attention. Call this guy a douche again. That's, you know, it kind of lowers the bar. It's almost like having dessert before the savory meatloaf, you know, like, look, I love meatloaf, but meatloaf can't really follow a chocolate cake. It doesn't work. So you want them to be a nice shrimp cocktail or, you know, whatever the hell you eat as an appetizer. And yeah. It's chips and salsa. And then you go up and you're the enchiladas. So if you throw a sopapilla at them before the enchiladas, it's a little jarring.
Ah, that makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
No, that's a good enough. Yeah, if I was just like, nope, that made no sense at all.
Oh, I would have totally gone with it. But, you know, you pull out a flan, and then you serve somebody a taco. It's a little weird. So right. I think you gotta have a good balance out of the gate, and the feature should know that. You know, sometimes you get these features like, I'm gonna bury this fucking guy, and you're like, well, now you got a weird. It's gonna be weird for the show. It hurts the rhythm of the show.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So then, at what point in your career did you notice that people were coming to see, like, you had seen Mark Norman headlining versus seeing, you know, a comedy show and you happen to be the headliner?
Well, this is all still new. I mean, I'm just maybe like October of 2019 is when they started coming to see me. I'd get like a peppering here and there of podcast fans or whatever. But yeah, it didn't really get to be 90% or 80% me until, you know, late last year. So this is all still new, but somebody told me once that if like 20% of a crowd is there to see you, it will be contagious to the rest of the crowd. And I think that's so true.
That's interesting.
And I think a lot of people need to perform for people who don't know them. You need to learn how to get a crowd on your side that isn't on your side, or not necessarily off, not on your side, but if the crowd doesn't know you, you still need to know how to win them over. You don't want to be the guy who's just up there like, they all know me, they already love me, because then you won't be as undeniable. You want to be undeniable, you know, at the Funny Bone, you want the soccer mom, the pregnant lady, and the dishwasher to be like, this guy's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be dangerous too early to have the whole crowd on your side immediately.
Right. Well, that's, I guess that's like what Seinfeld says. He said, you know, you have the first few minutes for them to know who you are. You still got to make them laugh afterwards, though.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's why these YouTube guys, you know, no offense to anybody personally, but they get these huge followings on YouTube, zillions and zillions of views. They don't establish an act. They go do a live show and they tank because they're just like, oh, I'm great. I'm just myself on camera. Everybody loves me. And then you get on stage and we're bored now. You gotta do something. Like, you gotta make us laugh.
Yeah, it's a different ball game.
Different ball game.
There's no editing, you know?
Right. Yeah, good point.
Is there, what advice was given to you? I mean, even up to now, from, you know, someone that you really respected that you've kind of kept with your whole life that you would give to other comics?
Ooh, shit. I think you got to go with your gut a lot. A lot of people have told me, like, don't do that joke, don't do this material. You got to go with your gut on what's funny, but then people, they take advantage of that. They're bombing and they go, well, I think it's funny. So you need a compromise of go with the gut and still get the laughs. You can't just be up there being like, well, this is what I like. I'm sorry. You don't like it? Leave. And like, okay, well, then we're going to leave and you're never going to work in this town again. So you have to still compromise. You're still an entertainer. These people paid money. They left their house. Entertain. I get a little peeved when I hear comics like, I'm going to bring a notebook up there and try a bunch of shit. And if they don't like it, fuck them. I'm the talent here. And you're like, all right, that's wildly selfish. Like, I know this art form requires an audience, but let's not ruin stand-up comedy for the next guy. You know, now they're going to go, well, we'll never go see a show again. That was $80. And this guy right. took a shit on stage. So if you saw that Rusty set I did, yeah, I'm going off notes, but I'm still trying to get laughs here.
Right.
Yeah.
So then how do you approach, you know, controversial topics? Like, I know you do it in your tweets a lot, but like, you know, if something comes up, how's your approach to saying, is it too early? Is this too far? Or do you just kind of just fully jump into the water?
I just jump in. I hate the too soon. And look, the too soon is okay. You're allowed to think it's too soon, but I don't. The soon part is the fun. Yeah, like that's why I'm doing it too soon, because it's got a little more bite to it. So too soon is not, what's the other one? Not objective. Too soon is not objective. It's subjective. But, you know, we're also entitled up our own asses. We go, hey, that was too soon for me. So that just means it's too soon. No, it was too soon for you. It's not too soon for me. I'm the one telling the joke. So it's okay if you don't like it, but it's too soon for you.
Right.
But it's not too soon objectively. Yeah. So I just do it, and I feel like dark topics are fun to explore. I think they're necessary to explore, and I think if it's a joke, I think you got legs. You know, if it's still a punch setup punchline, there's a funniness to it. There's some kind of attempt at humor. I think it's okay. If you're going up there just going, "Hey, rape is great," that's weird. That's a bad comic, and that guy should be shut down. Because you're just trying to get a shock value off a word or an idea, and you're not actually doing comedy.
Right.
So then, as long as there's a comedy attempt, I think you're okay.
Yeah. So you find that, but you find that if you're funny, you can get away with more. I'm just, like that. I'm sure.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Like these people, like, do you think there's anything you can't talk about? No, you can talk about whatever. And people get mad, and then they yell at you, and then you do it again, and they'll yell at you. I mean, it's just. People don't like it. Some people like it. So you got to deal with that. And that's fair. They're allowed to not like it.
Yeah.
So, but you just got to weigh that on how much you want to do that bit.
Do you find that you'll ever do a bit and someone will, I'm sure it's happened, where someone's going to go after you and heckle you because it is too soon in their opinion?
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time. happens all the time. Like, hey, you can't say that. And I'm like, well, I just did. And this whole room might not agree with you. Like, how entitled are you that this bothers you? So you just have to shut it down. I don't like hot sauce. So discontinue all Tabasco. Yeah, but I like hot sauce. Yeah, but it burned my tongue. All right, well, that's you. Just don't use it. So I get being offended. I've been offended before. It sucks, you know, but you just move on. You go, I'll never buy this guy's record or this gal's movie or whatever it is. It's not that complicated. We really like to jazz everything up a bit, but it's all very simple.
Yeah. So how do you approach hecklers and how do you go about it? Do you have, you know, your kind of go-to lines or are you more on stage trying to figure it out with them?
Oh man, heckling was a whole different animal on its own that I had to figure out. You can only figure that one out by being involved in it, just experience. But I just got heckled so many times that I used to be like, fuck you, I hope you die, I hope you get AIDS, because out of anger. And after a while, you realize the crowd doesn't go with you if you do that. So you have to learn to like finesse it where you're trashing them, but you're not going for the jugular right away. And the crowd is on your side, and it's a whole tiptoe kind of ballroom dance of destroy this guy, show dominance, but keep the room on your side.
Right. So then I'm sure also now as you're getting more and more people coming to see Mark Normand, that's helping with the heckling. Even if it happens, more people are probably on your side now.
Yeah, completely. And I'm grateful for that. And again, nobody wants to be heckled here. So I hate these douches who are like, you know, hey, I'm going to come and heckle you and whatever. I'm like, look, if you're a fan or if you like my stuff, don't heckle, because, yeah, we might get 1 second of fun out of a heckle where I call a guy a piece of garbage and we all laugh because there's tension in the room. But, you know, it's going to hurt the show. It hurts the flow, the timing. You know, if a movie's on and somebody pauses it to take a shit, it's not going to be as good of a movie because you're not going to be in it the whole time. You're not going to be feeling it.
Right. There's something that takes it out. There's a pause.
Right.
Do you find that there's more people when you're performing at, you know, New York and the Cellar that are going to be more rude or more out there to yell at you?
No. I think the Cellar is pretty good about policing. And I'll tell you this. I think people like being policed. It's almost like, oh, that sounds bad in these times, but I mean, in a comedy club, people want the discipline because it shows that like, oh, this is top notch. This is the top tier. I mean, you go to a Broadway show, if you cough, they'll throw you out on the street because you're like, hey, I'm in a suit here. This guy's coughing. I can't hear Hamilton, you know? So I feel like the Cellar is good about that. It's the Cellar is the Mount Olympus of comedy in a way. So. Right. I think people want it. If you heckle and then get thrown out, it shows the other people like, oh, this is a serious show here. This is the top of the line.
Yeah. Do you find that at the other clubs in New York do that too? Or is it a little more relaxed at some of the other places?
It's a little more relaxed. And I think that's cutting corners. And it hurts the club ultimately because now the show suffers. The audience doesn't get as good of a show as it could have gotten because some guy has to take 10 minutes out of his act to trash an audience member. Then they finally throw him out. Now it's a big to-do, a big distraction. The whole show has gone off the rails. And so people say, well, we want to see comedy. We want to actually see a show and not just deal with people yelling and we can't get anywhere. So I think it's better to police.
Yeah. Do you find in New York that, you know, when you're doing stand-up and you're doing these, I think it's 15s out there, right?
Yeah.
So do you find that, you know, you'll go up, you'll be going up one night saying, you know, I got new stuff to work out, but then, you know, Sam Morrell just got off stage and he killed. Do you find that now you're going to want to go up and kill, or do you stick to your, I got to work out this stuff?
I think you stick too. I mean, you feel it out. It's case by case, but you know, if he kills, great, good for him. But he might have not done anything new. And so, yeah, he had a great set, but he didn't really get anything out of it, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I want to get something out of it, and or vice versa. I kill, and he does new. I think the beauty, the ultimate goal is to do both, kill and have new.
Right. So where do you find the balance? Tough, but where do you find the balance in that? Is that more just prep, like you knowing what material works, or is that you testing the waters of the room, or what?
that's just a lot of experience, a lot of finessing. Like, all right, I'm going to do this bulletproof bit. Then I'm going to try the new one. And I have a bulletproof bit right after it. So I've talked to crowds before. And they're like, oh, we didn't even know that was new, that you really got off of that one so quick that it was in and out. And also, we think the crowd is sitting there going, that was good. That sucked. Fuck you. I hate you. Oh, you try the new one. I hate you now. Kill yourself. But they're just trying to enjoy the show and eat some hummus, right. You know? They're not as hardcore as we think they maybe are. So I think trying new is key. I think it's important. I think it's important to kill. And if you can do both, great.
Yeah. So then do you, I guess, so kind of moving over to your podcast, which is called Tuesdays with Stories, which is honestly my favorite podcast.
Ah, geez. Thanks, yeah. Man.
Do you find that you and Joe, when you guys are talking on it, is that how you guys talk in real life with each other? Or are you guys doing something more to kind of be more play characters of yourselves?
Well, we've been doing the show for 6+ years. So we have this rhythm where we can turn it on right when the mics heat up. Mm-hmm. And we have a show rhythm, like a cadence, almost like a comedian cadence. And so I think, sure, you turn the mics off, we'd sound exactly the same, but it won't be as quick and it won't be as peppy and punchy. Like, he'll literally say car, and I'm like, Carmichael, carpet. You know, I'm just trying to have any pun I can because we're so neurotic and desperate for a punchline that we'll just start throwing puns out there because we don't want the crowd to get bored. And we don't do that when we hang out, obviously. We're not at the diner going, spoon me, spoon man, Soundgarden, you know. So right. It's clearly trying to be funnier on the mic.
What was the origin of Tuesdays with Stories? How did you guys say, you know what, let's just do, and then let's make it this style of a podcast?
It actually kind of morphed over the years. Joe had the idea. He's like one of the best guys at hanging out. He's got stories for days. He's funny. He's punchy. He's quick. And so we were all hanging out one night. And then the next day he was like, that was so fun. I wish people could hear that. You know, like, sure, the show is great, but that fucking hang was just a laugh a second. And I wish people could hear that. So we had the idea, well, let's try to make the comic hang into a podcast. And obviously it didn't work because we got four guys together and it didn't flow. It was boring. And then, but it just, we try to keep booking guests to fill this room with comics, but everybody's busy. Nobody could do it on the same day as this other guy. So it just became me and him telling stories. And then boom, Tuesdays with Stories is born.
So do you find that you're writing, or you're writing down material, but you're also writing down anything that happened to you to try to remember them as stories?
Yes, completely. Like, I'll miss a flight, and 80% of me is going, oh, you fucking idiot, you blew it. And then 20% of me is going, but I got a story. Let me write this down. I missed an Uber. Hold on. The Uber driver called me a whore, and, you know, let me get all that. And boom, I got some fodder, or potter, as we would say.
Mm-hmm. So then is
Harry Potter.
Do you find that the people in your life are now even more? Because I know for me, there's people that, you know, tend to be a little more hesitant with me because they think, oh, anything I say is going to end up on stage. Is there another level with people, you know, that like I can now end up on the podcast too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like you mean civilians?
Yeah. Like, you know, your girlfriend or your family or people like that.
Sure. Sure. I think our podcast is less popular. Like, I think I'm thought of as a comic before podcaster. So yeah. I think more people are worried about the stage thing. And I think they're like, I'm not Joe Rogan or, you know, NPR. So they're not really worried about. Also, if it comes out on a podcast, it'll probably just be a story. But if it comes out on stage, it'll be a joke. And they're more scared to be involved in a joke. So I think they're more worried about the stand-up than the pod.
Do you have any – have you ever had any instances where someone was like, I don't like you telling that story or that joke about me on stage?
Oh, sure, yeah. And I go, okay, sorry, I change it. And I, you know, I try to never say anybody's name or make it too specific. But, I mean, I'm not a – I try not to be a bad guy. I wouldn't go up there and go, this guy farted in his wife's purse and never told her. And I'm telling her right now, you know, it would just be like, oh, your thing made me think of this thing. And I'm going to turn that into a bit. I try to keep it not very specific. If you look at my act, it's not very personal. I got some bedwetting stuff in there. I got some childhood stuff, but it's not like my friend said this, and I, blah, blah, you know?
Yeah, because I know, I remember, I have a, the first time that ever happened to me was this girl just, like, she ended our relationship, and I went up that night and talked about it. Didn't use her name, but she was in the crowd.
Oh.
She stands up, and she goes, fuck you, don't talk about me like that.
Oh, like, I mean, that's a special heart. That's a special case. You didn't know she was there. You got dumped that day. So that I am willing to excuse because, you know, it's not really that's not going to happen again.
Yeah, no, it was a weird instance. But do you find that, you know, how do you build up? How, like, walk me through your process now of building up. You know, you just released a special. How are you going to get to your hour that you're going to tape again?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it takes so long to really have a beginning, a middle, an end, and those pieces between the bricks, that like white caulk or what is that? The mortar yeah. between the bricks. That's really what keeps the special together, because you need those segues, you need those little bits in the middle, those tags. So you could have a great bit, but it's got to lead into the next bit seamlessly. It's got to have a callback maybe if you want to do that. So it's those little things in a bit, those extra words, those extra hand movements and whatnot. That's what takes 2-3 years to develop, and the whole package itself, you know. Sure, when you order a margarita machine on Amazon, they can put it in a box and send it, but they still got to put styrofoam in the box, put the instruction manual, put it in the mail, write the address, seal the box. It's so much more than just the margarita machine. And that's the same with an act. You know, you go, oh, you got jokes. Go up there. No, I got to figure out the order. I got to have a beginning and an end. I got to close it out. You know, it's so that's what takes a while. So right now I have probably 20-ish minutes, and I have to figure out what I'm going to go first, what's going to go last. Do I need a closer? You know, and that's the hard part.
So do you find the jokes first and then kind of figure out the order, or do you just kind of do it all together at the same time?
I think once you have 15, 20, then that whole, okay, I'm building an hour here. Let's start thinking about the foundation. Let's start thinking about the narrative, the through line. But in the beginning, it's like, all right, I'm drinking milk. What's funny about milk? Okay, cows, all right, we push them over. They have udders, you know, butters. Maybe we've got literally like grasping at straws in the beginning. But then eventually, once you get about a 15, and then you just start connecting stuff. Like, all right, I got that bit on chihuahuas, and now this thing, I wrote a joke about dogs. Put that with a chihuahua bit. Now that's longer. Now you got to connect those, and maybe you get a joke out of the connection even. So it's just a long, slow process, and it's bit by bit, tick, 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 ticking away.
Yeah, and then as someone who has so many jokes every minute, how do you remember all of them? Or is it just because you just remember the flow of it all?
It's the flow. It's like you wouldn't remember a song if it was in different pieces, but because it has that, you know, twinkle, twinkle, it's got that rhythm, and that's how you remember it. And it all makes sense, you know, like you put the dog bit after the, you know, dog house bit. So now it just goes together. And so it's easy to remember because, you know, it's connected.
Yeah. Do you find
that? And it's just repetition.
Yeah. Do you find that in an audience, you'll be in the middle of your act and then you say, well, maybe this joke might not work with these guys. So let's not do that one.
Yes. Yes. That annoys me, because if I like the joke enough, I will find a way to connect it.
Huh? Do you ever have a joke that might be, you know, either too dark or too blue for them, and then you try to take it, you put it in another spot so you can get it in, or do you just, or what, like, how do you?
Sure, do that? Sure. I mean, you gotta build around it, like you gotta pad it. So if you got that joke that's too dark, then, and you want to put it in there, you gotta find a way to make it work. And sometimes that just means you gotta get them so on your side that they don't care about how dark that is, and they're willing to go with you. So sometimes half your act is just building up to get this goodwill to knock this pedophile joke out.
Like, I wrote a Holocaust tweet the other day, and I don't have the balls to put it out there, but I want to, and I just got to do it.
You just got to do it. And look, you know that joke I have, like, look, I'm not a pedophile. I'm not attracted to children, but like, it's such a dark topic that to me, it's just an exercise in, can I get this to work? Can I get this helicopter to land, Kobe, you know? Right. And so it's an exercise in skill, and it's an exercise in difficulty. So I got this bit about grape juice, and that bit took 6 months to work.
Really?
Because it's so dark. Yeah, I mean, I just kept, and I had given up on it. One of my friends goes, "Whatever happened to that grape juice joke?" And I was like, "Oh yeah." And then I went back to it, and by this time I had some time off of it, so I could see it more clearly and work on it better, and I figured it out. And now it's one of those jokes that people are like, "I love that bit. That bit's huge."
Yeah, it's a great joke.
Oh, you know the joke. Well, there you go.
Right. I mean, so then what's it like, you know, how did you go about producing and releasing your own special?
Well, let's see. It was all very depressing. It was all very insulting. I couldn't sell a special to save my life. And I was sending my hour, you know, that hour was, you know, built over years. So it was tight as a drum, and I hate my act. I hate myself. So I'm trying not to sound braggy, but I hate everything I do. So if I was actually happy with this, that's a big deal. So I was sending it all over. I filmed it at a club and killing, sent it all over. I don't even know if people watched it. They're just like, no, thank you. We got enough of this. We got enough of that. So in January, I did a show at a theater. We sold it out like a week before.
Yep. I was the typewriter.
Yeah, you were there. And my agent said, if we sell out two of them, we should shoot this. It's at a theater. You know, it's already sold out. It's your people. This will be a good one. And so I said, all right. So we, you know, just started doing all the legwork. Call this guy. Who's a shooter? Who's an editor? Who's a light guy? And we knocked it all out in 2 weeks. And they showed up. They shot it. It went pretty well. I still think that crowd was a little weak. But, yeah, I mean, we got it in the can, thank God. Then COVID hit. And we put it out.
Yeah, I mean, you're at 1.6 million right now, which is, you know, that's a crazy number to be at.
Yeah, we hit that in a month, and hell, I want to hit 5 million by Christmas.
Well, you'll make it happen, you know? It's a great hour, and it deserves to be watched.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you, like, what was your thought? What were you nervous putting it out? Because, you know, was there any hesitation because it wasn't getting sold, and you were like, well, maybe it isn't as good as I think it is, or something like that?
Oh, all day long. You know? And I'll tell you, a lot of that made me better. It made me rework a lot of the jokes. I'm like, this gets a B laugh. Let's turn into an A. And I just had to sit down with it. And in a way, you know, it makes you good. It makes you have to have a way better quality because you're trying to sell something nobody wants. It's embarrassing, you know. It hurts your feelings. So you don't want to present them with a shitty product when it could be better. So I put my head back in the piece of paper and went back to town, and it made it better. It did. So I have to give them some credit for that.
Did you use any comics to help you kind of figure out other jokes maybe that could be better? Or do you write everything yourself with nobody else?
No, me and Sam do a joke session, and, you know, I'll run shit by Joe List, and I run two shows in the city, and, you know, me and my friends run it together. They're comics, so they'll watch my set, I watch theirs, and we're always constantly, hey, that's been done before, that's a little hacky, here's an angle you could take on this, how'd you miss that? And so we're all helping each other, but it's, you know, it's mostly you. You come up with all the ideas, and you figure it out yourself.
Yeah. Then are these the comics that you're with? Are they the comics that you kind of grew up with and stand up?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's all different. You know, Sam, I knew like almost from day one. Gary Veeder, I met the first day I moved to New York. Joe List, I didn't meet till 5 years after I moved to New York. But we were all aware of each other. We were all kind of broke and not funny and figuring it out and starting from the same shitty seed, and then we grew into something, I guess. But yeah, you know, some guys you meet later on in the line, but you find your people, you know, who it gels.
Yeah. Do you have
it's natural?
I was talking to, I forgot who it was, they're passed at the Cellar, and they were telling me they have like this fun story about, you know, the night they got passed. Do you remember that night, or is there like, do you remember specifics about that night at all, or no?
Totally. Amy Schumer, I was opening for her for a while, and she was still mid-level club comic, not selling out, you know, a name and a good comic and whatever, but she wasn't Schumer. She wasn't the Garden yet, obviously. And I was just her rinky-dink opener, who she was nice enough to bring along. And she you know, all my friends are idiots. They're like, why didn't you get me in the cellar? Why didn't you, you're gonna ask her to put you in the cell? I'm like, no, I'm not gonna ask her. That's why she put me up, is because I didn't ask her. I didn't annoy her. And that's why nobody, you're not open for anybody, you chooch, because you keep bugging them. What can you get me? So I never asked her. We're driving back from Connecticut from the Funny Bone gig. And she goes, you really stepped it up there. And I think you're ready for the cellar. And I shit my pants. And I got a text later. It says, you're on tonight at 11:30. It was a Saturday night. And, you know, the cellar. I was an open micer at this point. It was, I'm trembling, you know. I'm just hearing, like, ringing in my ears. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And I called in a bunch of favors. And I did 5 sets that night before 11:30. Just running 5 minutes. Just because I didn't want to take any chances. And I went up. I was nervous. Here's the crazy thing. Jim Norton went on before me.
Wow.
By the way, just sitting at that table with the booker and, you know, all these pros. It's like Colin Quinn and fucking, you know, Keith Robinson. All these, you know, no bullshit, killer, legend comics. New York guy, Dave Attell. And, yeah, so she's like, you're going to go on 11:30. I went, great, okay. I just try to stay out the way. I remember Keith Robinson going, look how scared he is. He's fucking terrified. They're laughing at me. It's fun. And I didn't go on till 1:30. It just kept getting pushed back. Jim Norton went on and crushed. And he was like, that was O&A days. So he had, like, people there. Right. And this girl got up and to go pee. And she was a good-looking lady. And Jim went like, hey, what's your name? She goes, Sheila. And he goes, are you single? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, well, I'm going to find you later, whatever it was. And then I just, Hail Mary, went for it. I was so nervous. I blacked out for a second. I went on stage. I said, well, it's a little awkward for me. I was dating Sheila till a minute ago. And that killed. And I was home free after that.
But great.
It was a risk.
Risk, high risk, high reward.
I guess. But, you know, what if that had tanked? I would have completely crumbled. I would have just, you know, my knees would have buckled. I would have stammered up there and tanked the whole thing, but I went for it.
Yeah. So then do you remember sitting at the table the first time, the comics only table?
Oh, yeah. All that was scary. I mean, just walking into that place is nerve-wracking. You know, it's high school again. Who's this? Who's sitting there? Who hates me? Who likes me? Who's better than me? Who sucks? Who's a hack? Who's good? Who thinks I'm a hack? Gary Goldman once said, the cellar isn't a club. It's a lifestyle. And I think there's a lot to that. Like, even now, pros won't play it because they're like, it's too divisive over there. It's too tense.
That's interesting. I apologize for only asking questions about that type of stuff. I'm just so interested in it, you know. As I move there, it's going to be something I strive to get to.
No, I get it. Man, I wish I had this when I started. There was like 8 books on comedy and two interviews about it. You know, Seinfeld had like a Charlie Rose, but you got, you know, no one ever talked to anybody about comedy. So this is nice. This is why I do it, because these new comics starting out, I'm like, give them the information. You know, there's no really instruction guide here. So let's throw it out there.
Well, yeah, that's why I started this, because, you know, Judd Apatow, when he was young, went around asking people. He would interview these comics and these people he respected.
Right.
So I said, why not? You know, I have the platform. Let me just reach out, you know?
Yeah, totally. And
I get all the information I can.
I love that he did that. That's fucking huge.
Yeah. Have you found that other, like, so obviously you have Instagram and Twitter. I saw that you're kind of getting into TikTok. Have you been using other social media platforms, and have they helped you at all?
You know, I hate social media. I hate the hate that it fuels up. I hate the canceling. I hate the gotcha bullshit, you know, but I feel like you have to have it, you know. It's part of the business now. So, you know, I just do it. I sign up for TikTok. I put some videos on. I never check it. I never look at it. And I just want to write jokes. I want to perform. I want to be a comic. I say horrible things. I'm sorry. I'm not a bad person. I'm just trying to do what I think is funny. And I'm sorry I said retard in 88, but it's a funny word. And that's all, you know. People, I feel like social media started as this fun thing. And it just turned into, like, how can we ruin you? Let's attack this person. I don't know. The whole thing's, it's topsy-turvy and it bums me out, but I just do it because I feel like I have to, you know, like an MMA fighter. Ah, Jesus fucking bus. An MMA fighter is great at boxing, but he's got to learn how to wrestle if he really wants to have a chance.
Right.
I think it's kind of like that.
So are you starting to branch out, you think, into other forms besides comedy of entertainment, or like just stand up, or like is acting a possibility, or is, you know, or do you just kind of want to stick to stand up?
I want to stick to stand up. I would only act to help the stand up or to help sell tickets.
Right.
You know, I can't act. I'm not even really, I don't really enjoy it that much. So I just want to be a stand up, but I know, you know, my agent's not going to allow that. He's going to be like, hey, if I can get a paycheck here, we're going to take it.
Yeah. You know, that's, yeah. I mean, is there anything you write screenplays at all, or is it, do you really just focus on stand up?
No, I've never written a screen. I wrote one in like, you know, senior year of high school and college, maybe. I was a film major. So I've written short stories. And if you look at my Instagram, my YouTube, I have sketches and videos I've done, but it's all just me. I'm just trying to be funny here. Hey, this is supposed to be funny. Hey, I'm a stand-up comic. Check out my dates, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's, yeah. Just use it to fuel the comedy. Buy tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I have one more question, then we can wrap it up here.
And
I
all right.
ask this to all the comics I have on here is, if you could give one piece of advice to a guy who wants to start out or is, you know, a year in, what would you say to them?
I would say, and no one wants to hear this. This is all, everybody wants the shortcut, the quick answer, the golden ticket. The short, good answer, the real answer is focus on the act. Make the act bulletproof, killer, lights out, get your stage chops, get your heckle lines ready, get your opener, get your closer, build an act. Everybody is not, no one is worried about the act, and the act is everything. It's very simple. I know people who will start festivals. They'll start production companies because they're like, all right, I'll start a podcast network, and then I'll be this huge comedian because I have all these followers. And I'm like, yeah, but your act sucks. And they go, I want to do Conan. All right, well, let's see the act. And then they bomb. And you're like, well, how can you have both? I know you want the accolades and you want the glory, but you got to have an act. It's very simple. So just write a good act, run it, hone it, kill everywhere, and the rest will just fall into place. But nobody wants to do that because it's hard and it takes a lot of bombing, a lot of failing, and it feels like you're wasting time, but you're actually wasting time the other way. So it might be a quick fix to get on Joe Rogan and be this huge name, and then they go see you and you suck because you haven't worked it out, and I'll never come see you again, even if you become great. So work on the act, get the act good. Why would Colbert or whoever put you on if your act sucks? So you want all the good shit. It's like these people want to be a professional bodybuilder, but they won't go to the gym because lifting weights isn't fun. But I like getting greased up. I like the photographs. I like the sponsorships. You got to lift the weights. So, and it's fun. Building an act is fun. It's hard. It's fulfilling. And it takes a lot of time and effort, but you got to do it. Build the act. Get good at joke writing.
That's a great piece of advice, really. Like, that was really great.
But look, here's the thing. It's going to take 10 years. It's going to take 8 years, and nobody wants to hear that either.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you love stand-up or not? If you're passionate about it, you'll love doing it. I mean, it's the best job in the world if you fucking put your head down and do the work. But, I mean, that's why it's work, because it's hard.
No, totally. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Is there anything you want to plug on here?
So, first, I want to apologize. I got a little I had some weird news happen earlier, and I'm a little riled up. So that's why this came off a little squirrely.
Don't worry.
And I'm walking around New York and it's loud as shit. But yeah, thanks for having me. Check out my special. I worked hard on it. I hate myself. I'm gay. And listen to my podcast and the whole thing.
Cool.
Sing us a song. Welcome to After School Sports Podcast. Here we are. Four high school boys talking about some sports, what we love. Let's get it started.
Let's go.
All right, so the Dodgers clinched yesterday. We excited about that? What's going on, Goldbomb?
We're going to lose again in October. It's going to be really sad. It's going to be horrible. Sad. But 7 years, that's pretty damn strong.
7 years of the playoffs, but I'd rather have one playoff in a World Series.
I think I'd rather have one World Series than seven. I'd rather... No, actually, I don't know. No, but we were consistently good, though.
Right, but we've consistently lost, too.
Maybe we could lose 3 years in a row, and then that'd be, like, a new, like, feature.
We're going to be the second worst... We're going to be the second best franchise to never win a World Series.
Bills.
Yep. 90s Bills.
I just got an alert
Max Muncy back on Friday. So right. That's good news.
That's good. What about, you hear about Yelich, bro?
Yeah, that means Cody Bellinger just won MVP.
I mean, what about Acuna?
Acuna? I mean,
if he puts on
he's
a,
too far.
If he puts a crate, you
Acuna's
think?
Got it next year.
We can look at his numbers. His numbers are probably really good, hold but on. I can pull up his numbers.
I mean,
right Acuna now.
Is 30-30 with 30 home runs, 30
stolen
bases.
He's
going to
be in the 40-40 club.
Could be, yeah.
Doesn't he have, how many home runs does he have? 44.
No, Acuna's got like 30 something.
Who hit the 44th? Eugenio Suarez.
Oh my God, he's going off this year.
I know.
And then Pete Alonso with 47 home runs as a rookie.
You know I picked him up on fantasy the day after the draft?
Really?
And yeah.
The polar bear, bro.
Bro, my fantasy team got screwed over.
Acuna's hitting 283, 38 home runs, 94 RBIs this year.
So, I mean, his average
is lower than the other two guys. He's definitely got the homers and RBIs, but his numbers are lower than.
But if Bellinger keeps if Bellinger keeps sucking,
he's hitting like 220, 240 the last like 2 months. So he started off really hot, but he's gone down a lot.
I think Bellinger's just locked in. Acuna's probably.
I agree.
Acuna will win it next year. Year
I
after
love
that.
Acuna. I mean, I really love Yelich, man. I thought if Bellinger kept slumping and Yelich was on fire, I think he could have taken it.
Yeah, Yelich could have taken it. And then Pete Alonso too. He's just like a rookie with 47 home runs.
Is he's gonna break the record? You think? Judge's
Aaron
record?
Judge's record, what is it, 52 home runs?
52? I mean, how many games do the Mets have left?
Well, we got...
I mean, everybody's got around, like, 20.
Here, I'll check.
I mean...
18 games left to hit what?
5.
Yeah, he'll do it.
Yeah, he'll do it, yeah.
Is that the rookie record?
Yeah.
Yeah, rookie, all-time rookie record.
All-time is 79, right?
Well, yeah,
76?
71. But, I mean, with the juice baseballs,
juice baseball, juice body. With the base, well, the baseballs are juice now.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many home runs now. Like
it was actually 73. 73 in 2001.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Who was the rookie record?
Judge.
Judge with 52.
Oh, last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Is this his third year in the league?
No.
Yeah.
That was
this
last
is his
year.
Second year.
Third year. Last year.
Right, it was him and Bellinger.
Yeah.
Both combined, they hit the most like home runs.
Yeah,
any rookie duo.
It was a historic year. Yeah.
It's because baseball is juicing the balls.
I think so, or they're tightening them, and it makes them like.
That's what I've heard is like, they're not juicing them. Just the seams are a little tighter. You know, they're a little different. It's like what is that one? The commissioner's name, Manfred.
Is that it? Rob Manfred?
Yeah. He's like, we're not changing them. We're just like making the seams a little tighter, and that's just I don't know. I mean, are pitchers even really complaining that much? I haven't heard much about
Verlander complained, and he's one of the top pitchers in baseball. Might win
Verlander
Cy Young.
Almost has 300K. Has that happened before?
I don't know, but if he's complaining about juice baseballs, they got to be juice because he's one of the top pitchers in the league.
300 strikeouts in a year. Who's had 300 strikeouts in one season?
Scherzer didn't Scherzer do it last year?
There's been 14 guys.
Thanks, Goldbaum.
Oh wait, no, 34. The Astros are gonna have two dudes do it.
I mean, the Astros got pitching staff, man.
They're winning.
I mean, it's gonna be a repeat 2017. Astros are gonna probably beat the Dodgers.
I mean,
again.
Are the Astros gonna beat the Yankees?
I mean, it's just pitching. Yankees have no pitching, right?
Pitching wins.
Their
bullpen, though.
I mean, they got a bullpen, but Astros have a bullpen, too, man. Azuna's a stud.
Who's the Yankees starter? Who are the starters right now? Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, it's pitching. Really just Tanaka, who's always hurt, and then Sabathia, who's always hurt.
J.A.
Paxton. J-Hap, yeah.
CC. Both of them have over 4 ERAs.
You got Paxton, who's struggling this year.
Tanaka.
Is he back?
What's that guy? The guy who's leading in wins in the MLB.
Paxton, Germán.
Oh, Domingo Germán, yeah.
He's leading the MLB in wins?
He was at least like
yeah,
a
but
piece
he,
ago.
Dude, he has no playoff experience.
Oh my God. Isn't Lyons is a great closer. Or like Ryan Dull, is that his name?
Ryan
from the
Dull.
Yankees?
I don't know. I don't think he's a major piece. I mean,
Ottavino Britton Chapman is like... too
crazy.
Good.
It's insane.
And DJ LeMay, who's having the season of his life.
Yeah, and Gleyber Torres is really broken out. 280, 30-something home runs. Crazy.
I do not want to face that lineup.
I mean, but the Astros lineup, too. You got that rookie Yordan Alvarez. Like, that just got like 24.
Both those lineups are insane. Dodgers lineup is insane. I don't know if the Dodgers pitching... they started off insane, but if you look at their last month...
Can someone explain to me what happened to Kenley? Like,
it's been a whole long season.
Where is he, man?
He had a hard off season. That could be.
I get that. I feel bad for him.
So like, I don't really want to talk on like, bash on him because he has gone through a lot. So, like, people like to bash on him, but like, they don't understand what really goes on with him. It's hard.
Ready? It's simple. Not the closer anymore. That's all it has to be. Joe Kelly should be the Dodgers.
Joe Kelly? Yeah. Well, you know what they should?
People wanted Joe Kelly DFA'd, and now they want him as your closer. Like, these are the most typical Dodger fans. Like, cut this guy off. Get this guy off. He sucks. Put him as our closer. We need him as our closer. Like, he's so good. Like, well, come on. Like,
he started off really bad this season. I mean, he was, like, horrible the first half of the season.
That's how things can change. That's baseball for you right there. It's exactly the game.
It only matters if you're hot in the end. That none of it matters as long as you're there.
What they should have done was they should have, at the trade deadline, gone Felipe Vasquez. Right. I think that would have solved everything. Just trade your prospects, man.
Did you just hear about Felipe Vasquez?
Wait, what did he do?
He got in a fight with somebody in the clubhouse, and they broke.
Wait, really?
He either broke his hand or the other person broke his hand. But yeah, good thing we didn't get him because I don't want nobody fighting in our clubhouse. This is the last thing we need. Like,
says the Lakers fan who they brought Boogie Cousins in, even though
that's a whole
other
story.
That's a, yeah.
No. This is what I think the Dodgers should have done, and everybody hates on me for saying this, but I truly think this would have worked.
Hit me.
You go, you trade for a starter, and in the postseason, you put Kershaw in the pen and have him throw 1 to 2 innings every game.
I don't know about that one. Yeah, that's...
I feel like you already have a lot of... Look at your bullpen for the playoffs this year. You're going to have probably... Maybe Dustin May and Gonsolin. Two starters.
They got Baez. What about Baez?
Urias.
Baez.
A starter. No, just what? Baez is obviously going to be there.
Yeah.
Who else could be in there? Maeda, starter. If Rich Hill is back, starter. All these guys are literally starters. So if you look at their bullpen for the playoffs, they're not going to have as many guys in their bullpen, which means they can have more guys on their bench because they are deep. Like, they have so many guys that they could play at, like, literally any time. So they can carry more position players, and then their bullpen's just going to be shorter this year with guys who are normally starters, and they'll just go out there one inning. Hopefully they do well. Like, Maeda, awesome in the bullpen. Like, as a starter, he's pretty solid, but when he goes out there relief, he, like, one inning, two innings, he's pretty good. Like, I think that's where he is, should be.
Yeah.
Is Gavin Lux going to make the roster?
No. I mean, you saw what they did with, like, Seager and Peterson in the past.
They put him on the roster.
Seager played.
But Seager played the whole season, right? Or did he come in September?
Seager came up like September.
They were doing the same thing with Gavin Lux this year. It was the same thing they did with Seager. They brought him up September. Yeah. They're playing him.
Seager was good, too.
They're playing him every day. Lux started off his first game, he's 2-for-5, something like that. Then he went...
Yeah, like two doubles, yeah.
Yeah, then he went like 0-for-15, and then last night he hits his first career home run, 3-for-4. So
Baltimore.
He's batting 250 right now. He's 6-for-24.
Wait, so with Muncy back, does that mean Lux is not really on the field, or?
I mean, that means I think they're gonna drop Negron.
No, well, they Roberts, when Lux was called, said that Lux is starting every single day
until the season ends.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Why did we trade for Jed Jerko?
Depth. Space? I don't know. Depth. He could play all the positions.
Because we can.
Dude, he's batting 190.
Actually.
Yeah.
That's bad.
He's 15, barely playing.
15-for-79.
He doesn't play though. Whenever you like turn it on, he's not on.
He can play every position.
I mean, he's a career 240 hitter.
He's had some good. He had some good moments with the Cardinals. Yeah.
Yeah. We love Cardinals and we love Phillies.
I hate the Phillies and the Cardinals.
We love their players. Is Austin Barnes making the roster?
No.
Dude, imagine being
Will Smith.
Waiting. Imagine he's dude. Okay, this is Austin Barnes. Imagine waiting your whole life. To be, or not your whole life, but your whole career, you're under Yasmani Grandal. You're waiting. You finally get the starting job, and then a 22-year-old beats you.
Well,
it's his fault. Yeah, he couldn't hit.
Will Smith would not have been called up if it wasn't like if he was producing. Like there would have been no reason for it.
There's no power there.
But David Freese.
Man, David Freese is a great matchup guy.
That was my favorite acquisition the Dodgers have made. Dude's batting .313.
People are like. Oh, I don't know if he's going to make the roster. That guy is more of a lock than probably, who could I say?
Kike?
Yeah. Well, he's what? Definitely making it 100%.
Play- he's making it.
He was a playoff hero last year.
He's a bum, bro.
Beatty, if you look at his numbers, he's very good. We don't even know if he's going to make it. This guy's hitting 284, 9 home runs. Like, that doesn't sound a lot, but like for what he's played, that's really good. And they're just so deep. Like,
For being the guy that doesn't need to do it, you know, he doesn't need to be the guy to get the hits. He just needs to get on base.
What they need is Seager to really come out in the playoffs.
How's Seager done this season?
Well, he's been very average.
260, 16 jacks, 75 RBIs.
Very average.
Turner was so slow, bro, at the beginning.
Now, he's a stud. And you know what he can do in the playoffs.
He's from Long Beach? I didn't know that.
Yeah. But there's no need to worry about Turner. You know he's going to hit in the playoffs.
How's Negron done this year?
He's not playing anymore, really.
No. Yeah, not that great. What about... AJ Pollock was a solid acquisition.
I mean, he's always hurt.
Slow, he got hurt.
Always hurt.
He's come back, started off well, slowed down. He's just cruising right now, doing all right. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see these last couple because we really need home field advantage. So we'll just have to keep playing and keep winning.
They have home field, right? Right
now they're 2.5.
They're 2-1 back. Right now, in the World Series, not in the playoffs. In the NL, we have.
Let's make the World Series, though.
Yeah. Well, no, the Braves are coming hot right behind them, so you gotta watch out for that.
I mean, again, with Ben, like, do they have good starters? Was it Keiko?
Very,
very,
very good starting pitching right now. Yeah.
Soroka's a stud. I know
Freed's been pitching well. Freed's a stud. Even though he gets rocked a lot.
Adam's cousin.
Julio Teheran, Dallas Keuchel, Max Fried, Soroka, and then Fulton Ewitz.
Yeah, Fulton Ewitz has like a 9 ERA.
He was hurt all year. He's only pitched in.
He was brought down. He was sent
he's
down.
Pitched 99 innings. He had a 5 ERA.
Oh, what about. Where's Sean Newcomb? What's he doing now?
No, it was either Fulton Ewitz or Newcomb.
Sean Newcomb, where is he? Sure. Oh, he's in the pen.
He's in the pen now? He was a starter against the Dodgers last year in the
Newcomb's
playoffs.
Newcomb's pitching 315 mm-hmm. in 63 innings.
Huh.
Was he sent down, though?
One of them was.
Oh, no, but I really like the Nationals.
I mean, he got sent down to rehab.
What do you guys think about the Nationals?
They're not going to do anything.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Are they even in the...
Mentally.
They always beat them. Do you see they're doing better without Bryce Harper than when they were?
Bryce Harper is a bum.
I don't like Bryce Harper, man. He's
red hot in like the last month, though. I've been hitting jack after jack.
You see that one yesterday?
No player in the world is worth $300 million. I'm sorry, unless your name is Mike Trout.
Well, yeah,
he's worth $420. He's worth it
because he's proven. But why would you pay a guy Bryce Harper who's like he's very obviously the best, but inconsistent as hell? Why would you pay a guy $300 million? It just makes no sense to me.
How many years is he there? 10.
The rest of his career, probably.
If he wins one World Series with them, is it a win?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's if it. He doesn't win
100%.
But he wins like 2 or 3
100%. MVPs. What was the last time the Phillies have won?
2009?
2009.
They lost to the Yankees first. Yeah. But no, it's not worth it.
If they don't win a World Series, but he gets like 2 MVPs, is it worth it?
I'd still say no. It's all about winning.
He needs to win a World Series.
They have to win, man.
They have to win. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem worth.
The Phillies aren't even
at this rate.
They're third in their division.
Yeah, they were supposed to be really good. Well, they were supposed to grow this year, but like next year, they're expecting like to be like really good. And
who do they have?
They have like the squad.
Segura, Realmuto is amazing.
Right.
Harper,
one of the best catchers. Yeah.
Arrieta.
Yeah.
Arrieta's hurt.
Hoskins
has been okay.
Oh, the pitcher. What's his name? The starting.
Nola.
Yeah, Aaron Nola.
They have Brad Miller. I didn't realize that. Cesar Hernandez. I like him.
See, Brad Miller's a good pitcher.
Utility player.
What's the pitcher's name? Brad Hand. But then there's Andrew Miller.
Andrew Miller. What? He's in the Cardinals. Been terrible.
He fell off.
Way off.
That sucks.
But that happens with relievers.
Adubel. I like Adubel Herrera.
Adubel. Well, he's also gone. Domestic violence,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I had him on my fantasy team.
Oh, that's very tough.
How's Harper?
I care about your fantasy team.
250, 102 RBIs.
talking about domestic violence, hear about Antonio.
Let's go to Antonio Brown. Yeah, let's do it. I mean, perfect segue.
All right. That guy. Look. Look.
Yikes, bro.
As a Patriots fan, I'm excited for him to be on the team.
If he's on the team,
he's gonna be.
If he's on the commissioner exempt list, he's gone for the season, man.
Have you read the article that the woman wrote?
I have.
You did?
Oh, not the. I read the statement from Antonio Brown's lawyer.
Did you read how graphic everything was?
I didn't read what she said though.
Dude, read it. I'm not gonna say it because this is people can listen to this.
PG.
It's like
PG-13.
R, like maybe even X.
Like, she describes, like, what he did?
Like, she describes what happens.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
not
good.
Can you find it, Adam?
Well, apparently she's getting him of exposing her, and he kissed her, and then he performed a sexual act in her presence later in that month.
I mean, but we do, I mean, as much as I want to, you know, believe her, like, we do have to do, you know, innocent until proven guilty, so...
And it's only a civil lawsuit.
Yeah, let's see.
I believe her. Hands down, I believe her.
I don't believe anyone at this point until I see evidence.
Proven
or
until
an investigation.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Exactly, man. You got and yeah. You just have to see how the investigation goes.
He'll play this weekend, though.
There's so much going on, man. I mean, after
his story.
I mean, this is like the worst timing, too. Like,
you think Bellinger? Or
that's
Bellinger.
Why she did it this time, because he's getting his way. He's doing whatever he wants. So it's hard for these people to come out. So she finally, somebody maybe convinced her. She realized she needed to say something, and he's been getting his way. So now she wants to be like, you can't keep getting your way. This is not the right thing to do here. Yeah. I really got to step forward. I have to. He can't keep getting away with everything he wants, doing whatever he wants. So I have to stop him. And it's what has to be done. She feels probably.
Yeah, I gotta say, this is perfect timing because, you know, I don't think there's one person right now who likes Antonio Brown.
Hey.
You,
he's right here.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Talking.
All right. I mean, like, as a person right
as
now.
As a person, no.
As
I mean,
a person.
Do you?
I mean, what is he doing, man?
As a receiver, I think he's the best in business right now.
I mean,
he is the best.
Sure.
He's one of the best route runners 2 years ago. I mean, I can't really remember him playing. He played last year. Pretty sure his numbers were great. Got in a feud. He's definitely one top three receiver in the league.
Did he call? Was it? Did he or Le'Veon call Ben Roethlisberger a racist?
It's got to be Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell has handled himself very well.
His numbers last year: 104 receptions, 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns. Those are good numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, his efficiency was down.
Was it?
100%.
Well, yeah, I mean, 2017 he had 15. He was down 300 yards.
I mean, there was one point where he had 1,800.
Four more receptions.
But at this point, when you let's say you're allowed to take five receivers right now.
Yeah.
You're really telling me you're going to take Antonio Brown as one of the five? Are you really telling me that? I mean, take everything to account. Being a teammate, being a team player. All right,
who are you taking?
I would take, you know,
Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Julio Jones.
You know he went to Taft.
It tapped. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's kind of cool. All right. Michael Thomas, Davante Adams, Julio Jones.
Yeah, are you
DeAndre,
taking Julio?
100%. DeAndre Hopkins, man.
Yeah, like
And
Hopkins.
Then, you know.
They're all good teammates.
Yeah, and then I guess you could flip a coin for either OBJ, Tyreek, or Juju. Maybe even Mike
not
Evans.
Not Juju.
I love Juju, man.
You see what happened to him this weekend, though? He's not ready to be a one.
The Patriots offense just like – or defense just demolished him, though. Like, he just needs –
Well, that Belichick is the best at shutting down the guys, main guy.
Yeah.
Especially the Steelers.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
They
that
have the Steelers number.
Such a fun game to watch.
It was really not fun at all. It was, like, probably the worst game of the weekend, to be honest with you.
For you.
For everyone, except you.
Yeah, bro. That was so fun. 33 points. Brady looks like he's 28.
Best game of next weekend?
Saints-Rams.
Saints-Rams.
It's going to be a fun one.
I don't
know. You think there will be any bad calls?
The Saints fans are so annoying.
They're still thinking about this.
They need to get over it.
Did you see the game on Monday night?
And
right calls their boot. What was the call? It was
It was something about the clock.
A 10-second runoff.
Yeah, and they were like,
boot. That was the right call. That was the rule. They just don't understand these, and they're still salty about that game. Like, I know he missed a bad call. and it costs you.
You know what's funny?
Lot, maybe a Super
Bowl. A lot, the Super Bowl.
No. Yeah, you know what's funny? You know what's funny about that? Nobody talks about that they got the ball first in overtime and they had a chance to win the game.
Their clock management was horrible.
They could have won the game regardless, and they just so win the game anyways. I get you're upset about that, but.
I'm not upset. I don't care. Referees
miss calls.
We won.
It happens.
We put up 10 points and won.
And
the halftime show beat you guys.
To put a new rule on just one missed call, just because the Saints fans didn't like it, it just seems like a little.
Didn't they think about like challenging it and like was there was some way that if they got enough?
That's a new rule this year.
They would have won the Super Bowl or like gotten to the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, no.
Imagine that. No, you're the Rams. You get a call. New Orleans put together a million signatures. They won.
I don't know. They had another chance. It's not like that was the game right there. They had another chance, and nobody talks
about
that.
It just they would have won.
I think it was 100% that was the game.
100%. But in overtime, you get the ball first, you score a touchdown,
did
you win.
They went to overtime.
They didn't even score.
Did, yeah.
They didn't even score a field goal.
Greg Zuerlein
won on the Rams' first possession from like a 60-yard boom.
You're right, he did.
It was a great game.
Greg Zuerlein, second or third best kicker in the league.
Saints are just salty.
Lots is the best
kicker
right now.
I think we would have had a better Super Bowl if the Saints were in it, though.
100%. Well, because it would have been a bomb show of Brady. It would have been two good quarterbacks.
That game was just a fluke. That was just not a good game. But
no.
You can't blame that on the teams. It was the two best teams probably all year, honestly.
The Saints, man.
I mean, Rams. And the Chiefs almost beat the Patriots, man.
That was the Super Bowl, in my opinion.
That was the best game.
Yeah, Chiefs were really freaking good.
You think the Chiefs do it this year, or do you think the Patriots can put it off in the AFC?
If Mahomes is healthy, you can't really go against that guy.
If Brown plays?
But a quarterback's more important than a receiver.
Yeah, but your quarterback's Tom Brady.
That's true. But like,
no matter what, it's Tom Brady.
And your coach is Belichick.
Dude, Belichick's the greatest coach
but
of all time.
I feel like they always have like a fluke year, though. They haven't the last couple years. But
they've been to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row?
Three years.
Lost one, right.
But like...
They beat the Falcons.
Beat
the
Falcons
and
that crazy... And then lost to the Eagles. Beat the Rams. I think we could see the Rams in the Super Bowl again. The Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Gamber's fallacy. I think the Patriots don't make it this year.
Yeah, I say Chiefs, Eagles. That's my prediction.
That's a good game.
Yeah.
That's a stupid prediction.
Explain your reasoning.
Eagles are overrated. They almost lost to the Redskins. Lamar.
Okay, Carson Wentz, great first year.
I think he's winning MVP.
Got hurt. I guess he started off slow in his first game. If you look at his stats, you think he threw over 300 yards. Pretty good game.
Three touchdowns, no interceptions. That's a great game. I think he's winning MVP.
I think he needs to prove himself. Again. I feel like he did prove himself.
He almost won an MVP 2 years ago.
Do you realize that nobody is putting Jared Goff in like the top 10 quarterbacks?
Because he isn't.
Did you watch the Super Bowl, my guy?
$110 million.
He got overpaid. He 24. 124.
No, but 110 guaranteed.
Oh.
Damn, like, that's a lot guaranteed.
Like,
I think he's top 10, but he's the bottom half of the line.
I hate how everyone compares like him to a system quarterback, but like if you do put him on any other team, does he do what he does? Like no, right?
No.
There's no
chance. Brady?
He's probably just below Dak.
Brady.
This is top 10. You got Brady, you got Breeze, you got Rodgers, you got Wilson. Are we putting Philip Rivers in this list and Ben Roethlisberger?
Not Philip.
Is Cam Newton on the list?
Cam, if he's, I don't even know. He could barely throw 20 yards on Sunday.
Is Stafford a top 10 quarterback anymore?
No.
Did you say Mahomes?
Mahomes. Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby is pretty
good. Bro, do you know Jacoby's
Jared Goff over Brissett? I don't care.
Yeah. All right, ready?
Yeah, that's
ready?
Facts. That's
career
facts.
Numbers for Brissett.
What is it?
4,000 yards. I don't know how many games he's played.
Yeah.
Man, what are you talking about Brissett for?
I love Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, because he was a Patriot.
He's played in 20 games.
Okay.
20 games, 3,690 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 7 picks.
Yikes.
Is that?
Are we talking about Brissett?
Yeah.
I zoned out.
He's not taking them to the playoffs.
He's
good
no.
guy.
Doesn't have an agent, worked out his own contract.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Cool. That is a smart, knowledgeable man.
And he got paid, right?
$30 million for 2 years.
Hasn't proven anything.
Yeah,
yet.
Exactly.
Well, Colts are also probably just like blindsided.
Colts are like, they're like, we need a quarterback.
Like, we need a quarterback.
But it's still his make or break season. If he struggles, they're gonna pick, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in college next season.
Yeah. Well, if they don't do a lot.
They could always trade up though.
Will they trade up for the one and go get Tua?
They're not getting Tua.
Or do you think they can stay and try to get Jalen Hands?
You think Tua's really going to go in one? Is that what is projected right now?
Yeah.
Who else?
I mean, Herbert, Jake Fromm.
From the guy from Oklahoma who was at Alabama. Hands.
Hurts?
Hurts.
Jalen Hands.
Jalen Hands is a basketball player.
Yeah. No, I mean, Hurts is probably not a first round.
I don't think Hurts is a first round. I don't think any of those guys are going to be that good. Just my opinion.
I think Herbert is a stud.
Herbert's good. I do like Herbert.
Hurts had a pretty good first game.
Okay. That's one game. They're playing UCLA this week. Yikes.
Dude, this is a clinic for him.
Oh my God.
We're not even going to get into that game.
Chip Kelly, why are you
I think
still
I'm willing to bet a lot of money because the line, at least what I saw last night, was like 22. Oklahoma's winning by 30 or more.
They're projected to win by all of them.
Oklahoma's favored by 22.
I'm trying to find that.
That's a travesty.
I'd take the over. I think UCLA loses by more than 22.
Oklahoma is projected. The spread is 23.5.
Oh, yeah.
That's high, though. But UCLA,
the over-under, 72.5.
I hate over-unders.
I'm taking the under.
I take the under. I take the under, but I think Oklahoma wins by more than 22.5.
Oklahoma's about to put on a show.
But UCLA's at the Rose Bowl. They're like humiliated. They've lost the last first 2 weeks. You think they don't put up like anything?
Last time UCLA won at the Rose Bowl, it was against Stanford or SC, not Stanford, against SC.
Chip Kelly, he has
November.
Something to prove. And I don't know.
They could go 0-10.
That's harsh.
I mean, this is their schedule. Oklahoma, Washington State, Arizona, Oregon State, Stanford, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, SC, Cal. They could beat Cal. They could beat Oregon State. That's it, I think. They could beat Arizona.
That's not a lot of wins.
No. How many do you need to qualify for a bowl? Five?
Six, I thought.
Six wins? You need a winning record?
Actually, you might be five. Yeah, it's a toilet bowl. Like, it's not even,
right,
it's not even a game.
It's not what it used to be.
The motels. No, yeah, that's actually a good one. I forget what it's something funny, though.
Fiesta Bowl.
That's a good
they
one.
They played in that, right? Under Rosen.
UCLA?
Under Chosen Rosen.
Hell no, they did not play in no Fiesta Bowl.
The Fiesta Bowl is one of the big
ones. Fiesta Bowl is one of the best ones.
They played in the...
I don't think they ever got to a bowl game with Rosen.
Yeah, they did.
They got to Holiday.
Bowls that
in Alamo.
Nothing.
Oh, the Alamo, and they lost, right?
They're gonna get into this. Either they're gonna get. If they did, it would be the Celebration Bowl.
They are not making a bowl game this year because the record won't let them. I don't even know if they'll win another game.
What was the last time UCLA is not? Wait, what was the last time?
A game. Sorry.
What was the last time UCLA has not made a bowl game?
Last season.
They didn't make it last year.
They were under 500.
Oh my God!
What's the dumbest bowl game name? The Belk Bowl.
There's a lot of dumb ones. It's all company.
There was one that was literally like an outhouse one. I thought it was like an Andy Gump Bowl or something. it's like the two teams are shit.
That's funny. All right, you want to do money lines?
Yes.
All right,
let's do this.
All right, so
give me a money line.
We all want to do this thing. We got NFL started last week, but we're gonna start this week. We're gonna. You know, have a little game between us. We're going to look at the money lines for this week, and we're all going to...
Are we doing just football?
But we're not going to go with all the games. We're going to pick our top five games.
Top five games?
Top five games of the week. We're all going to choose...
There's a night football,
based on the... The
line.
The line. Not the money line. The...
Closest games or something?
The spreads. We should go up the spreads, so we're going to have a spreadsheet. So we're going to... What games are
we going to
choose?
Wait, let me NFL.
All right.
Are we putting money on each thing? A dollar each?
Yeah, I mean something little.
$2 each?
We could talk about that
$80
later.
Each.
I'm in.
I am okay. Not. I don't work.
So here, I'm going to name you guys the games. Ready?
Bust.
I don't think Bucks Panthers is one.
Well, okay. How about this? So we don't have to like choose games on our own. How about we do Thursday night football? We do Sunday night football, Monday night football, and then pick two games that we think are dope.
So Buccaneers Panthers.
Yeah. And then we got the Monday night's Jets Browns.
Jets Browns.
Could we do any game on Sunday?
Yeah. So I mean, and then two any games. So Rams Saints.
So we're only gonna do four games, or we do five games?
Let's do five. So
because we do Sunday night, Monday night.
Thursday night.
So we have,
and then two games that we
so
want.
We have Eagles Falcons, Browns Eagles, Eagles Falcons, Browns Jets, Bucks Panthers.
Let's do Rams Saints. Okay. And then let me hear the games.
So then we have,
who are the Chiefs playing?
Ravens Chargers.
No, let's do Vikings Packers.
Vikings.
I like Vikings Packers.
Vikings Packers. Let's go with that.
Are there any other games?
That's an unpredictable game.
It's Chiefs Raiders.
As a gambler, I would not bet on Vikings Packers.
All right, so
Vikings Packers. Let's go with that.
That game's unpredictable.
So, it's a toss-up. Bucks Panthers.
It's unpredictable.
Got Jets Browns.
Okay. Vikings Panthers.
What?
Vikings Panthers Packers.
Panthers.
Panthers are the first game.
Yeah.
Eagles Falcons. That's a good game.
Eagles Falcons. Yeah. I mean, Falcons got to prove it after a terrible game.
And then Browns Jets is awful.
No, I mean, Browns are... Do you guys think they were overhyped or were overreacting to week one?
Wait, did we say five games? Monday night? Sunday night? Thursday night? Oh, we need to choose a second. No, we need to choose a second. Oh, Rams.
Yeah, Rams Saints, obviously.
Are we doing the spread or the lines?
The lines.
NFL... Money lines?
We'll just do the lines based off ESPN. ESPN lines. Alright.
Okay, so are we doing money line, over, under, or point spread?
I like point spread. That's my favorite.
Okay, so Tampa Bay, Carolina. So how about you two go against each other?
Okay.
And then Adam and I go against each
other? No.
Let's just do all of us.
Whoever does the best is
like per week.
Oh, whoever does the best in terms of like.
Here's what we can do.
Rank them.
So five is your most confident. So you'll rate that the highest. 4, 3, 2,
that's
1.
That's,
and then if you lose your five, then you get 5 points, and you want to have the least points.
I like that.
Why can't we just do whoever gets the most games right? Like, let's say the Rams 2.5, and then you get it right. Then that's
this
just
makes
point.
It more interesting.
But that's so much more complicated.
So then you'll pick your two most confident. So that if they're... Or you'll pick the one you're most confident in. That way, if, like, two of us tie, whoever had the more confident...
No, that's why I think we should rank them.
All right, let's rank them.
Rank them.
So for those who don't know how the spread works...
I think...
Yep. I see lots of money being won. I'm like, whoa.
It's kind of like parlay tickets where it's like, you know, like the odds, and you have to get every game right. And it's like 30,000 like for the winner, and Jonah's always like, wow, that's a lot of money. And then he doesn't.
That's all I know, man.
I'll explain this to you guys, right? So the Rams Saints, the Rams are opening as -2.5.
They're 2.5 favorites, yes.
So basically that means the Saints are automatically getting 2.5 points.
Yeah. So the Saints, if the Rams win by more than 2.5, and you click the over, or you say the over 2.5.
No, you take the Rams. Say for example, you take the Rams.
Yeah, no. You take
and
Rams.
The Rams lose or win by two or less.
Yeah.
You lose. But if the Saints win, you automatically.
If the Saints
win.
Oh,
I see. Exactly. Or if the Rams win by 3 or more, and you took the Rams, you win because it's 2.5. So whatever the Saints have, you just add 2.5 onto
exactly.
Their score.
So honestly, taking the Saints is probably safer because the Saints have a better chance of winning probably.
Yeah,
than
I'm gonna pick.
But honestly, actually no, it's really kind of a toss up. It's whoever you think's gonna win because the Rams.
Yeah, I think Saints.
Odds are the Rams don't win by 1 or 2.
I mean, can't go wrong.
Odds are.
I mean, people were talking about taking the Panthers last week, and the line was like 2.5, 3, and Rams won by 3. So.
It's but like.
It's crazy how these things work.
I mean, week one is you can't trust.
I love gambling.
Okay. Okay, so are we going off of Caesars or are we going off of Westgate? Which one?
I don't know what any
everyone
of
goes
this
off
means.
Westgate.
Okay, let's
Westgate.
Do Westgate.
All right. All the good gamblers.
So
you found it? I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it.
What?
I was trying to find it.
I'm just really
it.
Good at this. All
right. So should we have?
So Bucks Panthers goes.
Definitely just texted your bookie.
What? Yeah, right.
Doing a podcast.
So Bucks have.
Carolina's a 6.5 point favorite.
They are. No, you want the minus, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Carolina's 6.5 point favorite against the Bucks.
That's tough. Okay.
Jets Browns.
That's very tough.
Jet. Where's.
I got that Vegas insider. I couldn't find that. I was looking on my website.
Minnesota Green Bay. Green Bay is -3. Here, I'm writing them down for you guys. Oh, wow. Okay, so the Rams have the minus. Rams have -2.5. Where's Eagles, Falcons? Jets, Cleveland's +3, or Cleveland's -3.
Okay, so who wants to go first? I can go first.
Right, what's up? So what game are we doing first?
So we're ranking them, right?
Right now we're ranking them.
So,
what? I made a spreadsheet, by the way.
Wait, so one meaning we're least confident in our pick?
Exactly.
Okay.
So you want to do the game you're most confident in as your 5, because if you lose that, then you're going to get 5 points and you want to have the least points.
Got you.
I know what I'm most confident in.
I get it.
Same.
Okay, so I'll go. So
let's go. Let's do it.
Who do we got here? Dude, I can't even read this.
Let me tell you. Alright. I'm telling you guys the lines.
Alright, let's go to it.
Bucks Panthers. Panthers are -6.5. Jets Browns. Browns are -3. Vikings Packers. Packers are -3.
Oh.
Jets are favored by 3.
Eagles Falcons. Eagles are -1.5. Rams Saints. Rams are -2.5.
Alright, let's do. We want to do Thursday Night Football first?
No, we got to rank
them.
No,
rank them.
Okay,
I'll go first.
All right, so
at my 5 game, I'm...
This is their most confident.
Gotcha.
I'm taking the Panthers.
Oh!
At -6.5.
Whoa!
Dude, the Bucks. They got killed by the 49ers at home. I'm taking the Panthers.
Adam
at
just
home.
Handed me a lot of money.
Wow, Winston's fighting for his NFL life on Thursday.
A lot of money, all $8 you're about to win.
I
mean, it adds up if you win every week.
Bucks, Panthers. At my 4.
Take me to Vegas.
Wow. I'm going to take.
Who are you going to take?
The Falcons.
Ayo.
At 1.5. At my 3.
Oh, taking Falcons.
Taking the Rams.
I don't know about that, man.
You have to see what what we're taking, though. Because I'm taking the Eagles at +1.5.
Rams. Oh, you're taking the Eagles. All right. That's a good decision.
And then who are you taking?
Telling them to win.
Panthers?
Yeah. And then my 2, I will take the Browns. And then my 1 is... How'd the Vikings do last week?
Vikings, I mean, they crushed the Falcons. Falcons looked like, I don't even...
Matt Ryan did terrible.
The whole team was terrible. Like, geez, the Vikings went off. The run-heavy system by Gary
I'm
Kubiak.
I'm taking the Packers -3.
Amazing.
At my 1.
Ooh.
At home.
All right, so, okay.
It's a good one. All right.
Panthers at the 5, Eagles at the 4, Rams at the 3, Browns at the 2, Packers at the 1. Who's next?
All right.
Do you want the lines?
All right, give me the lines.
Because he knows what those are.
Yep.
He's just going to guess. Right. He has no clue.
I mean, I know the teams. I just don't know the betting stuff. But
it's
like,
all there.
So
if you can you read it?
I can read it.
So since he says minus S right there, that means...
Minus is good.
Minus is good. All right. Okay, so Bucks-Panthers are my... Oh, wait, no, okay. So at my 5, my most confident, I'm going to go with the Eagles-Falcons. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
To win by...
To win?
Because
I think the Eagles are going
to win.
They'll win by more than 2.
Yeah, because
okay.
I think they're going to win by a good amount. Falcons were terrible against the Vikings. And then, okay, so I'm at 4. At my 4, I'm going to go... All right, I'm going to shock you guys a little bit. I'm going to go Rams-Saints.
At your 4?
At my 4.
Is it 1.5?
It's 2.5.
And
I'm going to go Saints.
So you think the Saints will...
He thinks the Saints are just going to win.
Yeah, I think the Saints are going to win.
Right?
Yeah.
Or if you're plus, lose
by one or two.
I think if you're plus, you just have to lose by less than that.
Plus is safer.
Yeah. So I'm going to go Saints, obviously. And then, so at the three.
But you win more money on the plus.
You do.
Right? You do. Because they're the underdog.
I've gone.
That's with boxing betting.
Yeah. All right. So, all right. At the three. At the three, I'll go. Okay. Jets, Browns. I'm going to have the Browns winning that game.
What's the line on that?
It's a three.
By on who?
The Browns minus three. So I think the Browns are going to win that game by a touchdown.
What's the Eagles Falcons line?
Eagles Falcons line is 1.5. Eagles at minus. Minus.
Minus 1.5, and they're playing the who?
The Eagles are playing the Falcons.
Thank you.
And reason why I like the Browns is I believe the hype, man. I believe it.
And then, what's the Saints? The Saints, Rams minus two, right?
Rams.
Or minus 2.5.
Rams minus 2.5, yes,
okay,
sir.
So now you have Bucks, Panthers, Vikings, Packers.
All right, so at the two, I'll go Bucks, Panthers, and I'm going to go with the Bucks. I'm going to go with the Bucks.
What's the line?
Bucks plus 6.5.
Okay.
And then least confident will be the Vikings, Packers. I think that's an absolute toss up.
Who do you got?
I'm going to go Vikings. I'm going to go Vikings.
What's the line on that?
It's three.
Who?
Packers? Vikings plus three.
Okay.
Wow, we have a lot of different opinions on
this. Yeah, I mean, I love the Vikings, man. I do.
On all of these. It makes it fun.
All right, Jake.
Fix the stud. All right, Jake, what's up?
What up?
What?
All right. What am I doing? Oh, I'm betting.
Let's do this. Betting man.
Okay.
Sorry, I got a phone call. All right, go.
Okay. I am most confident in.
Yeah. Whose house?
Yeah, I'm going to the game on Sunday
Niners
too.
Niners house.
No. I'm most favored. I believe in the Browns the most, minus three.
Whoa.
I think that's, I'm most confident
at the
then.
Five.
That was mine.
At the five.
I'm most favored at all the right. five. So that's my most confident.
Ooh.
Second most, I got to go. I think Rams win. Rams win against the Saints.
That's
go
your four?
That's my four.
I don't like it. I hate it.
I hate you.
Nope.
No,
I hate you.
Okay. All right. I think Jared Goff and whose house? Rams house.
Whose house?
And then
he's in Drew Brees action and tomorrow night.
Then
can't guard Mike.
I'll go Bucks Panthers. I'll take Bucks plus 6.5.
I like it. I like it.
I think
that's a cheap bet.
That's a cheap bet.
I like the Bucks.
You're a cheap woman.
That was Adam's most confident.
And
I took the Panthers.
and then my toss up is I'm not even on my toss up yet, am I? And then I guess Eagles Falcons. I'll take the Falcons.
Oh, you're the first. Falcon. That was what I was gonna
plus 1.5. And then
I don't know yet. I gotta think about it. And then one is
and then
you got Vikings or Packers. We have a toss up between Adam and Ethan already.
Vikings are plus 3.
Yeah.
I'll take Vikings.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Vikings.
Vikings, all right.
All right.
Let me see the page. Should I just go out there and I'll either win 5 points or lose 5 points on making the Vikings Packers my one or my five?
Why
would you do that? There's no. It doesn't matter. I don't like our system. I'm just. I'm just gonna say it.
This is how betting. This is how like team betting works. Like when you're pool betting.
Like most confident and all that.
Yeah, because that's basically the only way you can really tell if it's just whoever wins games and you're gonna have ties. It's not as fun. You gotta go big.
All right, let's go big. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Let's do it.
All right.
Bigger than.
I don't know about that.
I'm putting the Eagle.
That's a good good choice.
I'm putting the Eagles at my five.
I like it. Eagles are studs. Carson
I hate the Eagles,
MVP.
But hey, man, let's get me a win.
Yep, beat the Pats. Beat the Pats. Big Dick Nick.
I'm putting the Bucks at the four.
Solid.
Minnesota.
Solid. Winston's fighting for his life.
That's why I think he's going to light it up.
Adam had Panthers at his one.
What?
Yep.
I mean, the Panthers D isn't that good.
Give us that money, Adam.
Panthers D is not that good. I'm going to put the Saints at the three.
All right.
I'll put the Browns at the 2.
Browns at the 2. Believe the hype.
And then I'm going to put the – ooh, this is – this is
– so, yeah, I mean, I guess this is the toss-up. Everyone thinks this is a toss-up. I think these two will fight for
Siri,
the division.
Siri, choose heads or tails. Vikings or heads.
All right, Siri.
Heads or tails?
It's tails.
Well, guess I'm going with the Packers.
All right. You just lost some money.
Sucks to suck.
All right,
sucks
cool.
Sucks to suck, man. Sucks to suck.
So we all have different fives. No, we don't. Jolna and I have the Eagles at the 5.
Yes, sir.
All right,
yes,
so we're all putting $2 in total or $2 per game?
No, in total.
In total?
Total.
All right.
Yeah.
We bet big. We bet big here.
Let's see. If you won...
After school sports.
If you won every week...
Well, we missed last week.
You'd win $96. You know what? That's good money.
That's,
quick, like, quick, easy money.
Take,
all right.
8 trips to Chick-fil-A. Oh.
All right. I think that's a good first episode.
All right. Let's wrap it up there.
So we'll come back, what, Tuesday? We do this either Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll look at the – we'll look who won.
We'll see you after school.
We'll see you guys after school.
And maybe wrap up the Antonio Brown drama.
Yeah. I like that ending. We'll see you after
school. Next week, we can maybe do Super Bowl odds or something. We'll do more odds next week.
All right.
All right.
You want to sign us off, Goldbomb?
It's been Jolna.
Goldbomb.
Ethan.
Adam.
And we're after school sports.
We'll see you after school.